This is In This League. Overtime. Some of the best from Chris Welsh and Scott Bogman on the In This League Podcast Network and FNTSY. Now, it's time for OT.
Fantasy Baseball.
10-team keeper league, 7x7 with OBP, slugging for hitters, and quality starts and strikeout to walk for pitchers. Head-to-head categories, get to keep five. I have Judge, Donaldson, Goldie, and Bumgarner. Sweet. I need to keep one out of Gordon, Murphy, or Carrasco. Thank you for your awesome work. Jim, and I'm just going to say C.
This is I want to take a shot at this. This is okay. Jim, all right. Shmulewski.
You know what? I think you nailed it.
I think I did too.
I was not confident. I think I probably would have come up with that, but I think you nailed it, Shmulewski.
I think that's right. I think I nailed that. I hit that one out.
I mean, this is like, I'm glad we're recording this.
Yeah, that was amazing.
This will never happen again.
Nope.
So anyway,
I'll screw up Gordon's name, but I can say Shmulewski. It's Carrasco.
Murphy or really?
Yeah.
Okay. You already have a pitcher in Bumgarner.
And now you got two amazing ones in Carrasco and Bumgarner with Goldie, Donaldson, and Judge.
Gordon for the speed?
I could see it, and I think it makes a lot of sense.
Because I like Carrasco. I feel like I like Carrasco more than you do, and you just instantly said Carrasco.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of surprised.
Well, you know, the other thing, it's a 10-team keeper. I wonder if Carrasco falls a little bit more and D. Gordon doesn't. You know, I guess my only problem is just he's going to lose the eligibility. But, I mean, he's still going to be really good this year. Carrasco
still
is
still going to be a top one or two in steals. I have these guys four spots away from each other in redraft. I've got Carrasco at 32. I've got Gordon at 36. So, and he is going to qualify at second this season.
Yeah, he will.
So you do have to take that into account.
I think you have a chance this could be a long-term keeper. And Carrasco is the player. We just talked about this the other day, I think, with Pisapia, and we've done it with like Spore and Bloomfield, where like, you know, the tier of the high-end pitching leaves, but like Carrasco is he's the bridge between the blob and the elite. And he's somewhere in there. And pairing him with Bumgarner, the glob.
Trademark Paul Spore.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with Carrasco.
Man.
Not going to kill you for Gordon, though.
Murphy, yeah, I mean, table. They're basically the same age, too. Yeah, I'm going to keep Gordon.
Okay.
I think the hitters last longer than the pitchers. Carrasco's already had some injuries.
And, you know, they're... his league might determine more. But oh, you did forget, remember, slugging percentage and OBP. Not Gordon.
You're right.
Not big Gordon things. Quality starts
right.
And
you know what? You're right. I did. I 100% forgot about that, and I am going to flip-flop. I'm a politician, and I'll take Carrasco. You're right because of those added categories. 100%.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Boggs and Sir Welsh.
I like this.
It's interesting to hear Spore Trash Judge referring to his second half slump. Can we give him a pass after the prodigious home run derby win, which isn't always mentioned and debunked in earlier pods? But I want to talk upside. Judge is the hands-down exit velocity king. He can get the bat around. He's built like the lore of Paul Bunyan. Stanton is there. The story will be, we didn't realize how many fastballs he was going to see. Makes a monster difference. Is there any higher upside player? Maybe Bryce. He steals some bases. And then to buy into some small sample size, Rhys Hoskins. This leads me to the Justin Lee podcast.
It's the Justin Lee podcast. All right.
Fantasy baseball is about to break out seasons. One consistent thing across all of my championship teams is I had to blow up a season for a couple guys.
Hold on. I gotta stop you real quick. Do you see what he just did? He said, my championship teams. He just unloaded plural. The Justin Lee podcast just busted out with, listen, guys, multiple championships. Hear me now. So please continue.
Well, he said he had to blow up some seasons to get these guys. Bryce, the year people were down on him. Pre-breakout Mookie. Young Kershaw. I draft Kershaw. Young upside and lots of it. So on the round one cusp, I'm taking Judge over Donaldson or Rizzo. Sure, when this strategy goes bad, it's really bad, like taking Noah Syndergaard round one last season. But sometimes you hit. What's your take on boom bust teams, and what have your championship rosters look like? The Justin Lee podcast.
Wow, he asked a question. I'm not used to the Justin Lee podcast.
It's usually just Justin Lee.
It just takes. It's hot takes all over the board. This is a lot. Where are we at? That was a lot to consume in that podcast there. There's Judge in there. What did he ask? He said, I didn't understand where he was saying.
Boomer bust. What's your take on boomer bust teams?
I'm okay with boomer bust. I do boomer bust teams. I can get down with that. And they do exactly what they say. Sometimes they pay off, and sometimes they blow up on my face. Because
the bottom line is you have to take a risk somewhere, right? And where is your risk going to be taken?
Yeah, but that's...
You can take a bunch of risk. That's fine. But, you know, like you said, they go down in flames when they go down, and it's boring halfway through the year. Now, some people do that, and they have 10 teams, and they just say, hey, you know what? The teams that are working, I'll go with. So, but I like to compete in as many as I possibly can.
Yeah, I'm cool with boomer bust. I've definitely won them. That's put me in a good spot before. But at the same time, you need to do a better job if you're going to go boom to like place some of that like safety net inside of there. Like, I'm not trying to say what everyone else says, where it's like, you know, the common thing we say it on here all the time, where it's like, you got to take some risks somewhere. But with a boom or bust type of team, you're probably taking three or four big risks, but the best possibility you might have to reach for some safer options just to balance it out. But I mean, I guess it doesn't even matter at that point, because it's going to blow up in your face. But I have definitely won with those. And I would say that this year actually might be one of the more fun years to go boom or bust, because you could go out and get Hoskins, like you're saying, Bellinger, yeah. Hoskins, Judge, maybe get some Ozzie Albies in that team, maybe some Shohei Ohtani. You get some late pitching that can go. You know, you can get late pitching to go with a bunch of boomer bust hitters. This actually might be one of the more fun years to do it.
I agree with you. I think this year is a good year to do it. And, you know, for the most part, my teams are going to be high floor early and then take the risk later. But every once in a while, you get a wild hair and there's a player you like and he drops a little bit. Take a flyer. That's what I do.
That's true.
Hey, guys, I'm in a 12-team 6x6 Roto League. K-to-walk ratio and OPS are the extra categories. All teams keep 10 players with no restrictions. I'm keeping Stanton, Lindor, Cruz, Yelich, Gordon, Kershaw, Verlander, Carrasco for sure.
You said Kershaw, that leaves, right?
I said Kershaw, yes. That leaves only two keeper spots for all these players that helped me run away with the title last year. Braggy brag. Mm-hmm. Please help me. Keep my crown. Thank you, Scott in Rochester. Zimmerman, Giles, Carlos Santana, Cole Hamels, Domingo, Greg Holland, Travis Shaw, Zach Godley, Marwin Gonzalez, Jimmy Nelson. So he's got to keep two of those guys.
Mm. I got
Domingo and Giles.
That is so funny. I have exact opposite players. You're going to hate them, too. One is Travis Shaw.
Come on.
I'm just going to throw these out here.
Be better.
Okay, I'm not saying these are them, right? I want to throw out the two guys that came to my mind. Marwin. Travis Shaw and Marwin Gonzalez. Yep.
I like Marwin, too. Marwin is what I thought of, but I think it's keeper. Domingo's young. And I think you need a closer if you're keeping 10. I think a lot of closers are going to be kept, probably, right? At least a couple. Maybe not.
No.
I mean, we do a 12-team, and we don't have a lot of keepers close.
And he's got
a lot of closers kept.
Second short, three outfielders, no other position. See, Shaw even makes more sense. Santana would be the fourth outfielder he'd have. Marwin and Shaw would cover positions. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go Shaw and Marwin Gonzalez. I wouldn't kill you if you kept Domingo. I'm not going to kill you on that, but that would be your fourth
Domingo
outfielder.
Domingo 100% for me. 100,000% Domingo.
You just crapped on him earlier.
I did, but it was less keepers. It was fewer keepers, and there was money involved. So it was different. I think Domingo 100%. I don't care if you go Marwin or Shaw over Giles, but I definitely keep Domingo.
Okay, so I think maybe we came to a consensus here that I will give you Domingo for Shaw, and then you're giving me Marwin for Giles. So there you go.
I'll do that.
It's Domingo and Marwin Gonzalez. Yeah.
Okay, we reached a deal.
Deal.
Struggling with who to keep in a struggling with which five to keep, I can't read, in a Roto Auction Dynasty $260 budget, have to choose from these seven, but don't know whether to take a risk with a couple young guys or the short thing. Bellinger for 10, Hoskins for 10, Jose Ramirez for 9, Ozuna for 4, Benintendi for 11, Quintana for one and Severino for 11. Thanks for any help. Love the podcast. Damon Reynolds, this is tough. Got to keep five out of these seven.
Damon, why you do us like this? Jesus.
So really, you got to pick the two that you're not keeping.
Yeah, you got to kill two here. Bellinger, Hoskins, Ramirez, Ozuna, Benintendi. Quintana's out.
I like Quintana a lot, and I think a dollar is a fantastic value.
I already got my answer.
You just have to, okay, who's the other guy you get rid of?
I hate it because I'd like for you to save money, and I do like this player, and I've talked him up a lot, but you have got to dump Marcelo Ozuna. Because you can't not keep Benintendi.
$4.
I know. Benintendi's $11, and that's not cool. Bellinger, Hoskins, and Ramirez, no-brainers. Severino, no-brainer. So now you are down to Bellinger versus Ozuna. I want Bellinger over him. And if you really think about it, dude, it's a $7 difference. This isn't $4 versus $28. It's not that much of a difference. Ozuna is a deal and a half. You know this because you're emailing us that you're having a problem with this, Damon. But you got to keep Benintendi. Benintendi in a dynasty keeper, whatever format, he's legit here. And I would also say, I think he balances out your team that you have of Hoskins, Bellinger, and Ramirez pretty well. So that's what I would do.
I just have a problem giving up Ozuna for $4.
Sure, me too. I don't like
it. I might give up Severino. Probably not.
Nope.
No, I can't do it. God.
Yeah.
I want to find, I don't know. Yeah, I guess you're right. I really don't want to do it. Hoskins is too much upside. You're definitely keeping Bellinger and Jose. Benintendi's a must keep. Severino's a must keep. Yeah, I guess that's it.
That's it.
Ugh, I hate that
just
question.
Just like those picks?
That won't hurt me. Greetings, Bogman and the Welsh. I'm a longtime listener. Happy to hear your dulcet tones on my commute to and from work. As I stated above, I have a keeper question. 10-team roto mix keeper, 10 keepers auction league. Question one, are 10 keepers too much? Absolutely not. Nope. I think that's in baseball, that's fine. In basketball, football, it'd be way too much.
Yeah, you're good.
Half your roster's fine. Second, I have decided on my 8, but I can't decide my last two. Should I keep Cruz at 21, Bregman at 15, Iglesias at 10, or Fulmer at 10. I was thinking I might be able to get Fulmer and Iglesias at these prices again, so keep the hitting. Plus, I'm not crazy about keeping a closer. Is that crazy? But listening to your latest pod talking with McConaughey, Cruz provides
for Ryan Bloomfield
elite power. Even if he falls off, I feel safe he will hit 30. My other eight keepers are Daniel Murphy, Lindor, Bryant, Mookie, Moncada, Sale, Thor, McCullers. You don't have to read those on the pod. Not bragging, just proving context for you. You're bragging. Come on.
Yeah,
thanks
okay.
for the info. Ian from New Hampshire. You're bragging, and that's fine.
That's totally fine. I love bragging. I'm very pro bragging. So, and by the way, did anybody sound more just depressed than Bloomfield when I was like, hey, do the McConaughey? And he was like, and he like, just, he couldn't time. Have wanted less of, I mean, Bloomfield is like, he's like our dude, but he was so upset.
He's a team player.
He was so upset. Yeah, this is clearly Bregman and Cruz. Like, I get, and, you know, we've had some conversation through this episode where you get into situations where you're like, this guy's a really good deal. But at the end of the day, I'll tell you probably 8 out of 10 times, I'm going to go with the best players unless the prices are ridiculous. Don't overthink it. Bregman and Cruz, that's stupid. Your team is already dumb. You bragged here, rightfully so, because it's awesome. But I want you to think about something here. How much does Bregman help the team or Rossell Iglesias? How much does Nelson Cruz or Michael Fulmer? This is easy, man. You're going to have Mookie and Cruz in your outfield, and your infield's going to be Bryant, Bregman, Lindor, and Moncada. Go with it and just win your championship again.
Go with God. That's correct.
Yeah.
What is ITL's plan if there's a player strike from Toby Jones?
That's a good question. We will talk about other sports.
I'll get a second job.
Yeah, we did have some people sign up for the Army for a curling podcast.
Come on, man.
We could, you know what? I know what it is. If it were to happen, we will just start making all of our secret shows into real shows and we'll become a comedy podcast.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea for right now.
Yeah,
you can do that. Let's see. 8-team head-to-head points keeper league, keep 7, being offered Danny Salazar in a 3rd-round pick for James Paxton in a 9th. My other 6 keepers are Strasburg, Stanton, Machado, Hoskins, Moncada, Buxton. League favors pitchers. Sean from Citrus Heights, California.
Ooh, put in the whole place. I like that. Where is Citrus Heights? I'm from California. I don't even know where that is.
No idea.
That sounds Southern California-ish.
Is it near, I'm guessing it's near Orange County, because Citrus.
Yeah, right? See, Southern. That's where I was going.
Yeah,
and me.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Dad jokes. All right.
The third round pick is interesting. I mean, there could be some really good players there. I don't want to do this, though.
So you don't want to give up James Paxton in a ninth for Salazar in a third?
I don't, but I also don't know the players that are going to be there in the third. I mean, if there's 70,
they keep seven, so it's basically starting the eighth round. Dude, so this is 18, an 11th,
and it's 18.
This is 11th and a 17. So basically, Danny Salazar and a Danny Salazar
like
and a third,
Paxton
it's like, in a 17.
Yeah, it's like probably in the 100. I mean, dude, there's seven guys being kept at 18 teams, so you're falling just short 714. That's 126. 126 guys being kept. So a third round pick is like 150. I mean, it's an upgrade on the players, but I think
Paxton. Where do you get 18?
It says 18 team head to head points.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Thank you. I'm going to say no. I'm going to keep Paxton. It's very tempting with a third round pick, but I'm good.
I really like Danny Salazar. I'm a Danny Salazar apologist.
Yeah.
And James Paxton also has the same injury stuff.
It's a strong offer.
Yeah, it is. No. I don't know. I consider it. Probably not. I think Paxton has a high upside, especially for this year. Yeah. This team's already good. Keep the best player in the game.
In This League Overtime, some of the best from the In This League podcasts. Looking for more? Visit InThisLeague.com right now.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You're listening to In This League Overtime. Some of the best from the In This League Podcast Network. Find all their shows and more of what you've heard at InThisLeague.com.
Fantasy Baseball.
Next one says, I have the third pick in my upcoming FYP draft in a 16-team Roto League.
First-year player.
My team is middling, but on the slow rise. I like Gore, but I already have a bunch of upside pitching on my roster. He has Sixto, Morion, Espinosa, and Cease, and I feel like I need to start making moves that pay off sooner rather than later. Hayura's injury, healed question mark, and lack of position are concerning, but I am also concerned about him not developing power. Considering your upcoming book, how would you compare Gore versus Hayura as fantasy draft picks? And that is from Michael.
That's good. Obviously, it's a prospect question if you guys didn't get that. Keston Hira with the Milwaukee Brewers versus Mackenzie Gore. These are two guys I've seen in person. Obviously, my love of Mackenzie Gore is very well known. A couple things. I've actually heard, for some reason, I've heard this Keston Hira thing a lot. And I was one of the people that kind of was started some of that. You know, Jim Callis was on my Prospect One show, and he was very complimentary of his hitting prowess. And I was a little bit questionable about it as well. But, you know, as soon as I saw Hira in person, I was just amazed at how easy the guy makes it look. The guy has just a natural swing. He's I don't know where the power is going to develop, but I definitely he's got the body type that I could see it getting to 20. But he is going to hit. And I think he's a prototypical number two hitter. Injuries are a concern. I mean, it is clearly Mackenzie Gore for me, though. There's no circumstance where, if it were between those two, that I wouldn't take Mackenzie Gore, because I think Mackenzie Gore is going to be special. I think he is going to be an ace. The guy's already in, like, you know, the top six or seven of pitching talk. I think next year he's going to be in the top three, and he might be the number one prospect a year after that, and he might get fast-tracked as well. So I love Mackenzie Gore. The scenario that you're in, I would just tell you my prospect ranks, which the top 500, and I have a first-year player ranks with the Army. Mackenzie Gore comes in at number four on that list because I don't know if you guys are counting Shohei Ohtani, you can get a hitter. Royce Lewis and Luis Robert are both players that I would consider. So Ohtani, Lewis, and Robert are players I would consider. If Ohtani's not available and you really don't want Mackenzie Gore, I would look at Helio Ramos. I might look at Jordan Adell, or if you want to go with here, I would not be as concerned as you are about the power. Your stuff with the developing power, he's going to hit. It's going to turn into power. And I think it will be at the minimum of like the 15 variety. So hopefully that helps.
All right, next one. Hello, guys. Quick dynasty question. Sonny Gray or Sean Manaea and a prospect pick? Any worries about divisions AL West versus AL East? I think I said Weast to start that.
Weast.
Which is more injury prone? Happy Weast. Spring training. And that's from Dougler.
Oh, why don't you go? I just talked a whole bunch and people are annoyed with me. So you go.
Oh, man. Sean Manaea and a prospect pick or Sonny Gray. They're both really injury prone. I think I'd take Sonny Gray.
I think too.
I think that's what I'd do.
Prospect pick is interesting.
Depends on how high it is.
Yeah, me too.
There's a very high prospect pick. I would take the pick because I don't particularly love either one of these guys.
Yeah, let me look here too. To be honest with you, I'm looking at my first year player ranks, which I sorted out by rounds, and I have 5 rounds, 60 players that are in my top 500 that are in this first year player separate sheet that I have. And I would say I really, really like the first 2.5 rounds. When you get to the bottom half of the third, it starts to get a little bit questionable. Even then, there's still some good players. So if it's a top 3 round first year player pick, that might sway me. The higher it is, the more likely I am to do it, because I think Manaea could be pretty decent. But without knowing, we'll just both say Sonny Gray.
Man, I feel flip-flopping.
You're flopping.
I just really don't like either one of these players.
I heard it in your voice. I heard the flopping.
What I may want to do is take Manaea and the pick just to have the pick and think maybe that pick.
If it's a first or second round in your first year prospect player draft, I would do it. I mean, the second round of these drafts, I'm looking at these guys. I love every single player based on a 12 man of a second round first year player draft, from Brent Rooker to Jeter Downs is one of my favorite prospects. If you listen to Prospect One, you know that. Tristan Lutz. There's a lot of good guys. Top 2 round, I'm doing it.
Yeah, I'll stick with Gray, but I won't flip all the way, but I'll stick with Gray. But if it's top 2 pick, take the pick. Now that we are starting to see ADP take form, I'm looking for some keeper help. I'm keeping 4, and this is what I have narrowed it down to in a 12-teamer. With the round that they can be kept in, I have pick 7 in the snake draft. Lindor as a first reach, but he may be the best available in the first. Bregman in the 5th. Moncada in the 16th, Darvish in the 15th,
ooh.
Albies in the 28th,
ooh.
Weaver in the 27th. Which 4 should I be keeping? P.S. It was me who attempted to get Leonard for Batum in the Champs League from the Welsh,
ooh.
And that is from Durka Durkin.
Durka Durkin. This is a tough one because you actually gave us really good options. Sometimes people are like, hey, what 3 would you pick? And it's like, well, it's those 3 guys.
Who's the best value here?
Ooh, the best value.
Is it Albies in the 28th or is it Darvish in the 15th? So I think it has to be one of those two.
I think, well, I was actually going to say Moncada in the 16th. It might be Darvish in the 15th. Darvish in the 15th actually might be the best value. He's a no-brainer. Moncada's a no-brainer. Bregman's a no-brainer. You know what? I got to keep Lindor in the first as well. So I'm going to leave Albies on the table, and I hate doing it.
I think I'm going to keep Albies.
Who are you dropping then?
Lindor.
Really? But he's going to go number 1. He said he's going to be the best available in the first round. He's going to go number 1.
Yeah, I don't know. If everybody's keeping 4, is he really going to be the best? I mean, Some of these values are kind of wacky here.
Boggs, you know, like in our basketball keeper league, like there's always like five people that have a first round pick. And then
this is
second
probably
round.
A couple years old. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still keeping Albies. And I'm not one to do that. I'm usually one to take the best player. But you're getting Albies at a last round. That's too good.
How about this? I got a better idea for you. Try to find a suitor for Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, or Albies.
Yeah, or maybe you could pair up. Maybe you could trade Lindor and Bregman. And maybe you could go get – I'm just throwing out a name here, by the way, so don't kill me. But maybe you could get a Lindor and Bregman, you move, and you go get like a eighth-round Bellinger or whatever the hell he is.
Yeah, I think
like that.
It's tougher to do something like that in these leagues because you're only keeping four.
Yeah, but if
so
someone has
very
garbage
few
keepers.
People that don't have at least four good guys. That's a good point. If somebody doesn't, go find him and unload somebody.
Yeah, that's tough.
Next one, 10-team keeper league, 7x7 with OBP, slugging for hitters, and quality starts and strikeout to walk for pitchers. Head-to-head categories, get to keep five. I have Judge, Donaldson, Goldie, and Bumgarner. Sweet. I need to keep one out of Gordon, Murphy, or Carrasco. Thank you for your awesome work, Jim, and I'm just going to say C.
This is I want to take a shot at this. This is
okay.
Jim Shimalewski.
You know what? I think you nailed it.
I think I did, too.
I was not confident. I think I probably would have come up with that, but I think you nailed it. Shimalewski.
I think that's right. I think I nailed that. I hit that one out.
I mean, this is like, I'm glad we're recording this.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Because this will never happen again.
Nope.
So anyway.
I'll screw up Gordon's name, but I can say Shimalewski. It's Carrasco.
Murphy or really?
Yeah.
Okay. You already have a pitcher in Bumgarner.
And now you got two amazing ones in Carrasco and Bumgarner with Goldie, Donaldson, and Judge.
I'm sorry, Gordon for the speed?
I could see it, and I think it makes a lot of sense.
Because I like Carrasco. I feel like I like Carrasco more than you do, and you just instantly said Carrasco.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of surprised.
Well, you know, the other thing, it's a 10-team keeper. I wonder if Carrasco falls a little bit more and D. Gordon doesn't. You know, I guess my only problem is just he's going to lose the eligibility. But, I mean, he's still going to be really good this year. Carrasco
still
is
still going to be a top one or two in steals. I have these guys four spots away from each other in redraft. I've got Carrasco at 32. I've got Gordon at 36. So, and he is going to qualify at second this season.
Yeah, he will.
So you do have to take that into account.
I think you have a chance this could be a long-term keeper. And Carrasco is the player. We just talked about this the other day, I think, with Pisapia, and we've done it with, like, Spore and Bloomfield, where, like, you know, the tier of the high-end pitching leaves. But, like, Carrasco is he's the bridge between the blob and the elite. And he's somewhere in there. And pairing him with Bumgarner, the glob.
Trademark Paul Spore.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with Carrasco.
Man.
Not going to kill you for Gordon, though. Murphy
They're basically the same age, too. Yeah, I'm going to keep Gordon.
Okay.
I think the hitters last longer than the pitchers. Carrasco's already had some injuries.
And,
now,
so. You know, they're, his league might determine more. But you did forget. Remember, slugging percentage and OBP. Not Gordon.
You're right.
Not big Gordon things. Quality
You're
starts
right.
And Cape.
You know what? You're right. I did. I 100% forgot about that, and I am going to flip-flop. I'm a politician, and I'll take Carrasco. You're right because of those added categories. 100%.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Boggs and Sir Welsh.
I like this.
It's interesting to hear Spore Trash Judge referring to his second half slump. Can we give him a pass after the prodigious home run derby win, which isn't always mentioned and debunked in earlier pods? But I want to talk upside. Judge is in is the hands-down exit velocity king. He can get the bat around. He's built like the lore of Paul Bunyan. Stanton is there. The story will be we didn't realize how many fastballs he was going to see. Makes a monster difference. Is there any higher upside player? Maybe Bryce. He steals some bases. And then to buy into some small sample size, Reese Hoskins. This leads me to the Justin Lee podcast.
It's the Justin Lee podcast. All right.
Fantasy baseball is about to break out seasons. One consistent thing across all of my championship teams is I had to blow up a season for a couple guys.
Hold on. I stop you real quick. Do you see what he just did? He said, my championship teams. He just unloaded plural. The Justin Lee podcast just busted out with, listen, guys, multiple championships. Hear me now. So please continue.
Well, he said he had to blow up some seasons to get these guys. Bryce, the year people were down on him. Pre-breakout Mookie. Young Kershaw. I draft Kershaw. Young upside and lots of it. So on the round one cusp, I'm taking Judge over Donaldson or Rizzo. Sure, when this strategy goes bad, it's really bad, like taking Noah Syndergaard round one last season. But sometimes you hit. What's your take on boom bust teams, and what have your championship rosters look like? The Justin Lee podcast.
Wow, he asked a question. I'm not used to the Justin Lee podcast.
It's usually just Justin Lee.
It just takes. It's hot takes all over the board. This is a lot. Where are we at? That was a lot to consume in that podcast there. There's Judge in there. What did he ask? He said, I didn't understand where he was saying.
Boomer bust. What's your take on boomer bust teams?
I'm okay with boomer bust. I do boomer bust teams. I can get down with that. And they do exactly what they say. Sometimes they pay off, and sometimes they blow up on my face. Because
the bottom line is you have to take a risk somewhere, right? And where is your risk going to be taken?
Yeah, but that's...
You can take a bunch of risk. That's fine. But, you know, like you said, they go down in flames when they go down, and it's boring halfway through the year. Now, some people do that, and they have 10 teams, and they just say, hey, you know what? The teams that are working, I'll go with. So, but I like to compete in as many as I possibly can.
Yeah, I'm cool with boom or bust. I've definitely won them. That's put me in a good spot before. But at the same time, you need to do a better job if you're going to go boom to place some of that like safety net inside of there. Like, I'm not trying to say what everyone else says, where it's like, you know, the common thing we say it on here all the time, where it's like, you got to take some risks somewhere. But with a boom or bust type of team, you're probably taking three or four big risks, but the best possibility you might have to reach for some safer options just to balance it out. But I mean, I guess it doesn't even matter at that point, because it's going to blow up in your face. But I have definitely won with those. And I would say that this year actually might be one of the more fun years to go boom or bust, because you could go out and get Hoskins, like you're saying, Bellinger, yeah. Hoskins, Judge, maybe get some Ozzie Albies in that team, maybe some Shohei Ohtani. You get some late pitching that can go. You know, you can get late pitching to go with a bunch of boom or bust hitters. This actually might be one of the more fun years to do it.
I agree with you. I think this year is a good year to do it. And, you know, for the most part, my teams are going to be high floor early and then take the risk later. But every once in a while, you get a wild hair and there's a player you like and he drops a little bit. Take a flyer. That's what I do.
That's true.
Hey, guys, I'm in a 12-team 6x6 Roto League. K-to-walk ratio and OPS are the extra categories. All teams keep 10 players with no restrictions. I'm keeping Stanton, Lindor, Cruz, Yelich, Gordon, Kershaw, Verlander, Carrasco for sure.
You said Kershaw, that leaves, right?
I said Kershaw, yes. That leaves only two keeper spots for all these players that helped me run away with the title last year. Braggy brag. Mm-hmm. Please help me. Keep my crown. Thank you, Scott in Rochester. Zimmerman, Giles, Carlos Santana, Cole Hamels, Domingo, Greg Holland, Travis Shaw, Zach Godley, Marwin Gonzalez, Jimmy Nelson. So he's got to keep two of those guys.
Domingo and
Giles.
That is so funny. I have exact opposite players. You're going to hate them too. One is Travis Shaw.
Come on.
I'm just going to throw these out here.
Be better.
Okay, I'm not saying these are them, right? I want to throw out the two guys that came to my mind. Travis Shaw and Marwin Gonzalez. Yep.
I like Marwin too. Marwin is what I thought of, but I think it's keeper. Domingo's young. And I think you need a closer if you're keeping 10. I think a lot of closers are going to be kept probably, right? At least a couple. Maybe not.
No.
I mean, we do a 12-team and we don't have a lot of keepers close.
And he's got
a lot of closers kept.
Second short, three outfielders, no other position. See, Shaw even makes more sense. Santana would be the fourth outfielder he'd have. Marwin and Shaw would cover positions. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go Shaw and Marwin Gonzalez. I wouldn't kill you if you kept Domingo. I'm not going to kill you on that, but that would be your fourth outfielder.
Domingo 100% for me. 100,000% Domingo.
You just crapped on him earlier.
I did, but it was less keepers. It was fewer keepers, and there was money involved. So it was different. I think Domingo 100%. I don't care if you go Marwin or Shaw over Giles, but I definitely keep Domingo.
Okay, so I think maybe we came to a consensus here that I will give you Domingo for Shaw, and then you're giving me Marwin for Giles. So there you go.
I'll do that.
It's Domingo and Marwin Gonzalez. Yeah.
Okay, we've reached a deal.
In This League Overtime. Some of the best from the In This League podcasts. Visit InThisLeague.com.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
In This League Overtime. Want more? Go to InThisLeague.com. Here's Bogman and the Well.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In This League.
You are too easy.
All right, on the ITL guest line now, he's a good friend I was able to meet over in the First Pitch Conference. You know the name. NFBC stuff is out there, and there's a brand new podcast that he is a part of. He is Rob Silver. You can find him on Twitter at the aforementioned Twitter handle, Rob Silver. And you can now listen to him on the new podcast on Fantrax, Launch Angle. Rob, what's up, my friend?
Not much. You're really listening to Jeff Zimmerman, who's one of the smartest guys in the industry. I just try not to embarrass myself on the podcast, but Jeff is a big, big brain. So we had episode one of the podcast this week. I think it went pretty well. And every Wednesday it's going to be dropping until they kick me off.
I like
so
this.
at least one more week. So at least this Wednesday.
That's how I always feel. Like, we have a radio show on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and I'm always like, I wonder how long this is going to last. And we were actually just asked to do, which is definitely a big compliment. We're asked to do a third hour, and I was like, someone's got something wrong here. Someone's messed up in the head why they're allowing this. But this is, what is this? Is this Van Lee's the kind of the host, and then you and Jeff Zimmerman, you guys are, you're the brains.
We're at least one of us is the brains. I guess I'm the looks. I bring the pretty face to the podcast.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no, it's a good time. We're trying to dive deep into some topics, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm excited to be here with you guys this week.
You bring the pretty face to this podcast.
Yeah, 100% bring the pretty face.
I'm bringing my sexy bringing sexy back to all the podcasts.
You definitely definitely lower the overall weight of this podcast as well. So it was actually really nice. So we got to spend time a little bit of time at one of the games with Rob, and then we mentioned it before, but at First Pitch, the awesome poker game at the end, that was a great thing. It was I remember, Rob, it was you and then Jessica, is it Kleinschmidt? Did I say that right?
Yeah,
you and Jessica Kleinschmidt, you guys were kind of rolling around. We had a good talk. We were talking Blue Jays. Everyone was having a good time, so it was really good to do that. And it's good to talk baseball right now. And something I really find interesting, which, by the way, a little self-promotion for us, Rob was kind enough to be one of the very, very incredibly awesome people that judged in our 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debate for 2018 book, which you can get on Amazon or our website right now. And Rob took part in that. And I remember one of my favorite things was when I was asking him, like, okay, so what exact, definition do you want, or, like a reference for people? And then we were both kind of like the 2016 NFBC main event champion, because that's a big freaking deal. We can't do that out here. But Rob, do you have like a, I don't know, like a 30-second little like NFBC kind of description for people? I know a lot of people know about it. Some people are dipping their toes in the water and some people don't. But the NFBC, being the main event champion, that's a pretty big deal.
Well, it pays $125,000 and it pays $125,000 U.S. I'm here in Canada. So with the exchange rate, that's like $2.3 million, I think. No, it's winning that's great. I can't say enough good things about the NFBC. If you've played in your home leagues, give it a try. And there's all kinds of price points, as low as I think $25 now. They have quick draft champions, which are the draft and holds at $25. And everybody has a different budget, and I get that. Not everybody can play kind of high stakes, but it's a great opportunity to test your mettle against the best players in the world. So I can't recommend highly enough. Give it a try. Go to their website. See what you can afford. Obviously, don't buy in somewhere you can't afford. And if you're in one of those states, where the regulators won't let you play, go to grandma's house for the draft or something, in the neighboring state. But no, it's great. And obviously winning the main event, I'm not going to lie, it was pretty awesome. Winning is better than losing, as it turns out. And winning when it comes with a $125,000 check at the end of the year was a great experience.
Yeah, I mean, give me a break. That would be amazing. Well, follow him on Twitter, at Rob Silver. Go listen to Launch Angle. I think that's a very cool idea, and good on you guys. Those are some good names attached to that podcast. Check out the book so you can see Rob as well. And, you know, you'll probably come up, I imagine, Rob. We're going to have Vlad Sedler on shortly here. We're trying to get schedules, probably on the radio show, because I do want to have, and this is just a note for people, that I want to have a conversation about high stakes fantasy baseball,
yeah, yeah,
because I think that's a great conversation.
Vlad and I partnered last year in the League of Leagues. So Jonah Carey, the great baseball writer who writes basically everywhere, he used to be for Baseball Perspectives, now he's CBS, great guy, runs a League of Leagues, which is a joint baseball, football, basketball draft. So it's one big
draft. It's a three
draft.
Sport. Yeah, we do a three sport league too. Yeah,
there,
I love
you,
it.
There you go. So he has a bunch of high profile baseball writers and sports writers in that. So Vlad and I partnered on that. We won the baseball. It's still ongoing. We're in the basketball component of it. So we won baseball. We did not win football. Our football team was atrocious, like to the point of laughably atrocious. Like it's hard to draft. If you go into a draft, a football draft, because there's so much luck in football. Fantasy football is stupid, but it just is. We're in baseball season. We can be honest about fantasy football. It's hard to go, like, to start a season. I don't know if we started 0-8 or 0-9. We were trying. It's not easy to pull that off. Anyways, and we're in second place in basketball. So we're not going to win the League of Leagues. There's a decent chance we're going to finish like first in baseball, first or second in basketball, and still not win because our football team. And the funny thing is, Vlad is as good a baseball high stakes player he is. He's also an extraordinary high stakes football player. I hate, as you may be able to tell, I hate fantasy football. I used to play a lot of high stakes. But he knows what he's doing. It's not like we're doing fantasy curling as part of our Winter Olympics draft. Like he actually knows his stuff. And still, it was just so bad.
We had Vlad on the football podcast last year. We have the, and I was about to say, what'll help you, Rob, is listen to the In This League Fantasy Football podcast when it comes back.
Nothing was going to help us with this team. Like it was just
everybody was hurt. Right.
No, I won't even say that. It's just we had like Sammy Watkins. So it's not even like just that everybody was hurt. That happens. It's just everybody sucked so much. It was so bad.
Everyone did suck. That's
part of it was we, of course, drafted last March. Like, who the hell is ready to draft for next year? I know now everybody's doing fantasy football all year long. But anyways, enough fantasy football talk.
All right.
I'm sure you guys are on a great fantasy football podcast. I'm so over fantasy football.
I mean, it's baseball season, my friend. It is baseball season. So let me set the table here. As everyone knows, we talked about at the beginning of this, I thought this would be cool that we dedicated a whole episode to projections, and that's what we're going to do here. Like we're going to do, again, looking here shortly on the radio show, and I've had TSY, we'll be talking about some high-stakes poker, some high-stakes fantasy baseball with Vlad here soon, but we want to talk about projections, and
sure.
Rob, I think you're one of the best people to do that. You run your own projections, you do a lot of the high-stakes stuff, so obviously this is very important to you. So we're going to lay some foundation, some groundwork, and then we are going to hit it straight up with some players where Bogman and I spent some time, and Rob, you are welcome at any point to inject any very specific guys that jump out in your projections. We may even ask you, but we picked some guys using Steamer just as a baseline. That's one of the big popular projections that people are going to see on Fangraphs, and we found some interesting ones that we want to discuss. So Bogman, why don't you start us off? Let's lay this groundwork of projections with Rob.
Well, first, Rob, I want to know, how long have you been making your own projections?
I don't remember. I was thinking about that. I don't remember a time at which I didn't do some kind of projections. They've gotten better in the last 6, 7, 8 years, like just more methodical, and kind of I've refined the craft. But it's been at least a decade that I have not just taken baseball HQ's projections and gone into a draft and put a strategy together based off that. So I'd say 10 years. It is every year I get a little bit better, a little bit more refined, but yeah, probably about 10 years. And it's been a constant work in progress.
That leads to kind of the overarching question. Now, obviously, you don't have to, you know, lay out what yours are. Yeah, right. Exactly. This is your thing. But
I'll give you my secret sauce. Not that secret.
Okay, that's great. So we want to know the formula.
The secret brew.
We're looking for, what is your formula for each play? Like, is it different for hitting and pitching? How do you go about making a formula? Maybe you could do projections 101 here for a minute and just kind of let the audience know where to start and where to go.
I think first we need a bit of a reality check. We're projecting, when we project the 2018 baseball season, something that is ultimately unknowable, right? These are human beings going to play a game, and you cannot do it perfectly. Nobody, the Jesus Christ come down. I apologize. I'm not mocking Jesus for any Christian listeners, but the Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, Plato could be in this super baseball league, and they wouldn't know what's going to happen. It's just the nature of the game. We're human beings. Somebody's having a bad day. Somebody gets hurt. They're inherently unpredictable. Somebody named Tom Tango, who many people listening to this will know who that is, did something probably about 15 years ago where he created a projection system called Marcel. Because it was basically a dumb projection system that all he did was a weighted 3-year average from the last 3 years with an adjustment for age, regressed. There was no thoughtfulness to it. It was literally something that a monkey could do, and it's still run. If you go to Baseball Reference, you can find the Marcel projections, because it doesn't take anything. There's no innovation to it whatsoever. And what he basically said is those projections are, call them 70% projections. Every other projection system needs to be judged based on that. Because by definition, his are dumb. His system doesn't know that Miguel Cabrera in 2018 is not really a 3-year average of Miguel Cabrera, right? Miguel Cabrera, he may be a bounce back, but Miguel Cabrera is not a weighted average of the last 3 years. His last year needs to be weighted heavier. Marcel doesn't know that. So that's a baseline. And the reality is Steamer is so much smarter than Marcel. There are so many things that go into the Steamer projections by definition that Marcel doesn't have. And Steamer does beat Marcel, but it beats it by a very small amount. Like it is percentage here, percentage there, percentage here. That's a reality check. So everything that Steamer does, everything I do, we're grinding out 1-3% improvements. That's a long way of saying, if you're a normal, sane person with a job, with a family, with kids, with a life, taking the Steamer projections, taking Zips projections, taking a lot of the publicly available or some of the paid projections that you can get, and I'll come back to some of the paid projections in a second, is 95% as good as spending the hundreds and hundreds of hours that an idiot like me spends trying to get the next 5%.
I think that's a great, by the way, I just want to give you credit for that. I think that is like incredibly intuitive to say something like that, because at the end of the day, you're probably 100% right. There are people out there like us, Rob, that, you know, we are obsessive in nature and we have to have control, and control is very important in the aspects of our lives. And then there are some people that have more sane mental capacities that just need to go look at Steamer. So I want to applaud you for that.
So you can win leagues. You can absolutely win leagues doing nothing but taking the Steamer projections. You need to know what to do with them, and well, we can talk about that, because that's the third component of it. But you can absolutely beat me any day of the week in a draft using nothing but Steamer. I don't want to overstate how much better my projections are than anything else or anybody else's projections. You're grinding out tiny improvements. Okay, but you've decided you want to do your projections anyways. there are three components to my mind of projections. Number one is the actual underlying performance. So what are you going to, what is player X going to do? Number two is playing time. And that is a huge component of what I spend a lot of my time doing, is trying to get granular improvements of how much playing time is this player going to get, and what does that mean for their production, and also what the sensitivities are around what their value is if they play a little bit more, if they play a little bit less, and at what price do I still want them. And then the third component, so it's how good is this person per plate appearance, per inning pitched, how many plate appearances, how many innings are they going to get. And number three is an actual valuation system. Once I have a projection, player X is going to get 80 runs, 26 home runs, 88 RBIs, and hit 273. What is that worth in terms of dollars, in terms of round? Do I want to draft them in? And converting a projection into a valuation, I think, is the third big component that you need to look at.
Has it always been like that, or did you come to that recently, within your last 4 or 5 years?
The understanding of how important playing time projections are is where I think I have evolved the most over the last 5 years. You can be high on a player, you can be low on a player, but the reality is if they miss 2 weeks of playing time, the difference between somebody who's high on a player and somebody who's low on a player is almost always swallowed up because of the change in playing time. Where somebody's going to be batting in a batting order, you don't want to chase it too much. There's a lot of noise in spring training. A manager is hitting a guy first in a bunch of spring training games, and you think, oh, clearly the manager is going to use this guy as the leadoff hitter or the second hitter. It turns out the manager just wants him to get a lot of playing time in an opening day. They're back, they're hitting seventh, and you just paid a lot at the draft because you were all excited that they were going to be hitting in front of Joey Votto and we're going to score 120 runs this year. Instead, they're hitting seventh and hitting in front of, I don't know, whoever is hitting eighth for Cincinnati this year. Somebody crappy.
This was In This League Overtime. Some of the best from the In This League podcasts. Looking for more? Visit InThisLeague.com right now.